Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael in 1 John today with today's message, In It to Win It. The title of the message today is In It to Win It. John has been very insightful, and his book is insightful too. It's a book on assurance, and if we truly are walking in Christ, we learn that we have sin and need a Savior. And when we sin, we confess it as believers and move forward in Christ. We learned how to tell a believer is saved or not saved, and to put them to the test. We learn from the Apostle of Love how to love, and how is love demonstrated? Is it by following the rules and doing what you're told? Or possibly just living your life as free as you'd like to live it? Or just getting by and breezing on through life? Or is it what John is saying in the Bible, stating true today as we continue on? Are you in it to win it? We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5 today. We're going to start in verse 1 if you're following along in your Bibles. And verse 1 says, Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. If we believe Jesus is the Christ, we are born again, and if you are, then you love those who have been given new life, like it says in the last chapter. Now we need to understand, you were lost before you knew him. You were in a bad condition before you knew him. Then as we mature, we understand more of our own depravity, what he has truly done for us, and we should be growing in knowledge, but also in grace. The God of the whole universe did that for us. So, how can I not love another Christian since Jesus did all of that for me? In the process of forgiveness of another person, in that process we list what a person did to us, and as we do that we go down the list and forgive them for each offense. When we get to one we can't forgive, then we must ask, the Lord forgave me for all of mine, so I should forgive them of this one too. In our humanity, we want to focus on their failings and weaknesses, but we are to extend grace to them, and we need His Spirit to do this. But why do parents give rules? Because we desire our children to have no joy in life whatsoever. Well, maybe it's because we bear them or adopt them to do work and make our lives easier. Or maybe it's because we have them to run errands and carry groceries, to take out the garbage and clean houses. Obviously not. Having children is expensive. It can be difficult. But we don't give them rules for any other reason then. We love them. Just today, I was debating when I wrote this with my daughter as she was refusing to do her chores. She said to me, Well, I'm not your slave. I told her she was absolutely right. But then I gave her some positive points. She wants to do culinary, and that isn't just baking cakes and you're done. It also involves cleaning, scrubbing, taking care of dirty dishes, counters, and floors, and basically involves work. Then someday, she will have a place of her own, and the responsibility of cleaning, scrubbing, and chores will fall on her to do, not just the few chores she has now. That is until her children are old enough to learn responsibility and have to do chores too, and learn how to be an adult as well. And then I told her that one day they'll probably say to her, Well, I'm not your slave. Of course that doesn't make any sense to a child. especially to a teenager. They don't realize we give them chores like our parents did, to teach them responsibility and to help them learn how to earn reward like an adult who works in a job. They don't understand we give them rules to follow because one day they'll live in a society full of rules that they will need to follow, or they could have consequences, punishment, or even incarceration. They don't realize when they don't follow the rules, they receive consequences because we desire to teach them this is how the world works. Most important, we love, we desire to protect and keep our children safe so they will grow into healthy adults. And God is the same way. He loves us and has given us rules to help protect and keep us safe in this world. And interestingly enough, we live in a Ten Commandments world, whether we want to or not. Someone may deny God's law up and down, but if they steal or murder or disobey in many ways, they'll have to deal with law enforcement. If they commit adultery, if they covet, take God's name in vain, miss church on Sundays, then their lives will be affected. If they don't put God first, make other things into gods, then eventually they will bow a knee to the God that they denied and miss out on eternal reward while receiving eternal punishment. We need to understand God is not the great rule maker in the sky, so we can be the great rule breakers of the world. He gives us commandments because he loves us. Verse 2, this is how we know that we are the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is not about falling back on rules and earning, but there are rules. This says we guard over his commandments. We guard over them. Verse 3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Some believers live that way. They hear this verse and they're like, ah, man! Well, I can just drink a sip and a half of whiskey. Ah, man! Can I just drink a can and a half of Yangling? Ah, man! See, biblical separation is not from, but separation unto. We are in the world and not of the world, and hopefully we are in it to win it. Let's look at the believer without love for a minute. The wrong direction is looking at the world and saying, ah man, I have to give this and that up. The person who doesn't look at God in love feels they need to follow the rules and not love the rule giver. If you are in love with him and desire the Lord, I say Lord because he must be Lord, and surrender of your own wants and desires involves this if you want to give and you need to give stuff up. I know men, plural, I know men that gave up meat to date women. One of them married one. I know one, and I was friends with the other. Meat. Men. Remember, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's barbecue weekend. They gave up meat. Steak is good. Hamburger is good. I love chicken. I love fish. I don't believe I could do that for a woman. We yell at our kids to brush their teeth and wear decent clothes, but when they're enamored with someone, oh, look at that person, they're brushing their teeth and their mouth and washing three or four times and washing their hair five and six times. Because when you love someone, you are separated unto, not separated from. You are in it to win it. In Genesis, Jacob had nothing to give Rachel. So Jacob worked for Rachel for 7 years, and in Genesis it says it only seemed like a few days to him. God created everything for us. He asks for our benefit. God didn't create peaches and say, "Boy, I can't wait to bite into this peach." He made it so you can say, "Man, I can't wait to bite into this peach." And he can look and be pleased that he created them. He creates rules to protect us. He makes laws to keep us safe. He gives us wisdom to grow us and make us more like him. Then if we don't listen to him, then we bang our heads against the wall. Aw, man. Then we go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We confess our sins as we mess up. Verses 4 through 5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Once again, John wrote these things so we could have assurance in knowing if we're saved, because he was writing to a third generational church filled with Gnosticism, and he makes it clear throughout. If you're really saved, you believe this. If you're really saved, you naturally do this. If you're really saved, you walk this way. Which is great, because today we deal with the same things in church. We know we are God's kids. Why? Look back at the verses in the chapters. Because we walk in the light. We fellowship with him. We sin and confess our sins. We should walk in his righteousness and ways. We should love one another. We should recognize false believers and false teachers. We aren't worldly and defeated by the world through faith in Christ. What is worldly? Anything that competes with Christ's value in our lives. We have the world disintegrating in front of us as it disintegrates in itself. We have the Word of God abiding in us, which means that what Satan had transplanted in us incinerates when God's Spirit hits it. Bam! That's assurance. How do we overcome the world? Only in the faith that Jesus is the Son of God, knowing and trusting him. We overcome the world first when his Spirit is inside of us and we infuse with him. We overcome the world when he begins to change us. We know he is overcoming the world in us, because as we are in the world, the things of the world become less appealing and his ways become more desirable. We know because as we do the things that God teaches are of the world in the Bible, instead of fueling us, they convict and hurt us inside. Why? Because his Spirit makes our spirit alive and infuses with us. He pulls us out of the world and its ways into his ways, though we are still in the world. We are just ruled by a different ruler now. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, the devil. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Okay, so that's what we were doing. But then we got saved. "But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. It is by grace you have been saved." You were following the ways of the devil, who is the temporary ruler of this world. and what are his ways according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6 says his ways are immorality, adultery, what people today call lifestyle choices, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. Galatians 5 says they are obvious to see. Immorality, impurity, debauchery, jealousy, rage, idolatry, gateway drugs, selfish ambition, drunkenness, etc. Revelation 20 says, cowards, unbelievers, vile, murderers, immorality again, people getting high again, idolaters and liars. Many areas in Scripture, it says. These are the traits of the non-believer. And John says in his book, if they are involved in these, then they are not born again. That a true believer can't continually do these things anymore. That if they're doing these things, then the ruler is the devil and not God. So if you are sober and one night you slip and you have a drink and you get drunk, you should feel bad about it. Then you should surrender it to God and then move forward. You may struggle, but struggling is what is important. Now you go to the bar nightly and get drunk and don't even care. If you're a believer and one night in anger you punch a wall and put a hole in it, you shouldn't feel good about it, then start punching more holes and punching people around you in a fit of rage. You should feel bad about it. Confess what you did, then surrender it to God. Then struggle to move forward as you surrender, and it gets better. If you get caught in something and you lie about it, you shouldn't just continue lying and go on throughout your life living a lie and just walking in lies. You should admit you lied and move on from it in surrender to God. You see, you get my drift? There are huge differences in the two scenarios. Are you in it to win it? Are you in this world to make an impact for God or for yourself? Because 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Are you in it to win it? Are you in this world to make an impact for God or for yourself? Because Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Are you in it to win it? Are you in this world to make an impact for God or for yourself? Because it also says in the Bible, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. These are difficult verses, and I'm preaching to myself as I share them with you. Where are your priorities in life? Are they with your work and your boss? Or is God your boss? Are they at school and you have teachers? Or is your main teacher God and his word? Are they about souls and salvation of them? Or are about your own comfort levels? Are you earthly minded? Or is your heart on the world and eternity to come? I have given up much over the years because God told me to do it. I have given up possessions, status, power, what I wanted out of life, money, and many things that were very difficult for me to do. I stopped watching certain TV shows, listening to certain music, living certain ways, going to certain sites, because the Lord spoke to me and told me this every time. If you want more of me, then this is hindering you, and you need to remove it from your life. That's what he told me. If you want more of me, then this is hindering you, and you need to remove it from your life. And I will admit to you, and I'm going to be honest, some of them I prayed, and I went, "Oh man, Lord, why do I have to give that up? But Lord, I enjoy hanging out with these people. Lord, I love watching The Walking Dead. Lord, I just got my tax return back. Now you want me to give it away? Lord, I just got this cool jacket, and now you want me to give it to them?" Yes. You call me Lord. And that means you trust me and you obey me. Biblical separation is not from, but separation unto. We are in the world and not of the world. And hopefully we are in it to win it. And I can promise from experience, you won't miss what he asked you to remove. If he tells you to give something away, he will take care of you. If he wants you not to hang out with certain people, which for me it was because I was weak at the time, then he will replace them with people who will fulfill your walk in him. He is good. He desires you to win. You hear that, guys? That's important for you to understand. He doesn't want you to lose. He doesn't want you to lose. He wants you to win. But in order to win, we need to follow him. In order to win, we need to give up things sometimes. In order to win, he leads our life. Not us. We don't go and lead our own lives. He leads our life. Are we in it to win it? That's why we're going through John. We are learning. Not so we can go home and feel guilty. Oh man, I'm doing this wrong. Oh, I can't believe I'm doing that wrong. You know, oh geez, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, that's not why. It's because we're in it to win it. So that if we are doing something wrong, you're not going to be able to stop doing what you're doing wrong. I see people try to do it all the time. Well, I was told I got to give this up. And guess what? A couple months later, they're not giving it up. And I'm right there with them. The only way that we can do it is in God's strength. The only way we can do it is through God's Spirit. That's how we win. We win in God. We win through surrender. We win because he is the Lord of our lives. And we're good enough to go to God and say, "Lord, I can't do this myself. I need you to do it for me." Because we're in it to win it. Because the winning doesn't come from us. The winning comes from surrendering to God. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each and every one of us here, including myself, Lord. It's hard sometimes in this life to give up things that we don't want to give up. But you speak to us and you tell us to give these things up, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to remember that it's not just us who gives it up. But, Lord, help us to remember that we need your strength to do it. That we need your power to do it. That, Lord, when we have these issues, we must give you these issues. And we take our yoke is easy, your burden is light. And that you take care of us, Father. Help us to remember that. No matter how big the addiction or the struggle is, Lord, you are the conqueror. Conquer what's in us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.